What's up, race fans? You have just entered the right place to talk about everything racing and go for another ride on the End the Groove podcast with your host, Slammin' Sam Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, strap in, don't go anywhere.
What's up, everybody? It's Slammin' Sam back at it again in the studio recording another episode of In the Groove podcast. We're going to talk about some high horsepower, nitro burning, just a lot of horsepower. So I hope you're ready for it. The guest tonight is one of a kind. All right, let's just get into it. Tonight's episode is again brought to you by Raise Energy. Guys and girls out there, if you want to have a good energy drink to drink, no sugar, no crash, try out Raise. I'm a part of the Raise Rebellion, and they keep me going and hyped up for all these late nights and crazy days when we are on the road with NHRA or at the Circle Track or whatever we're doing. But shout out to Raise Energy. All right, tonight's guest, like I said, nitro burning. I mean, the guy's got probably the most golden and iconic smile in drag racing. Everyone knows him for it. He's always a great time to have and someone to talk to in the pits. But without further ado, because he needs no introduction, I'm going to bring on a friend of mine and NHRA's very own Clay Milliken. Clay, how's it going?
Man, it's going good. How you doing tonight, Slam and Sam?
I'm doing good, man. You know, just enjoying, you know, a couple of days off here. I unfortunately didn't make it to Atlanta. I saw you in Vegas, but didn't make it to Atlanta. It's sad to see. What are your feelings on no more Atlanta?
Oh, I mean, I hate it. I've got so many memories there. You know, it's an iconic racetrack. You know, I mean, the place just has had so much history. And, you know, I kept hearing throughout the weekend, you know, maybe they'll build a new track at Atlanta Motor Speedway, you know, all these different ideas. But you've got to have a race for a long time before it builds history. And that place has got it, you know. But, man, what a weekend it was. The place was packed. It was so packed. But it's sad to think that we won't be going there again. You know, when I think of Atlanta Dragway, I think about it's one of the first races that I got to go to without mom and daddy with me. I went to a final round there in Super Comp, and, you know, I went to a final round back in my IHRA days. We would do, you know, about 10 races in the NHRA, and we went to three consecutive final rounds. The last of that three was right there in Atlanta. We raced Corey Mack in the final. We smoked the tires, got beat, but man, so much has happened there. I mean, it's just unbelievable that we're not going back, you know. And if you saw the crowd that was there, you would think somebody's going to step up and build a new racetrack. But, I mean, it's just not a lot of racetrack building going on. But I can tell you this, I really feel like that race, Vegas, felt this way. Gainesville certainly felt this way. It feels like we're back on track to being, you know, kind of like normal, you know, unlike last year doing four events in Indy. You know, this is starting to feel a little more normal.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, being at Vegas this year, four wide, seeing fans there, seeing you guys, you know, my co-host Lee, the Monday Morning Racer, we talked about on our show, the way you, especially you and like Ron Capps and Antron, the way you guys interact with the fans, it's phenomenal. And to see you guys on the return road waving, you know, outside of the car, outside of the tow vehicle, it's things like that that I think a lot of us took for granted before, you know, COVID and everything that happened. And now that we have the opportunity to be back and see the fans packed again, the stands packed again, I think we all are appreciating it just a little bit more.
Well, I know we certainly do as racers. You know, we love people there because you know, we're show offs. That's what we are. That's what we like doing. We like showing off. And if there's no fans there, you know, you're just showing off, you know, to yourself basically. And the few racers that were there. So having a packed grandstands makes you try harder and makes you appreciate what we get to do and why we get to do it. And at the end of the day, you know, we're trying to entertain people, and the more people are there, the more we get to entertain. And I love that.
So I know we kind of skipped all this, but for people that don't know yet in this podcast, who you are and what you do, give them a short, I guess, if there is a short version of who Clay Milliken really is.
Well, I'm just a country boy that has gotten very lucky in his life to live out his dream, and that is to drive a top fuel dragster. I am the driver of the Parts Plus Walmart top fuel dragster. I'm having a blast doing it. I have done it for a really, really long time. I joke all the time. I quit my real job in 1998, and I've done nothing else since then except race top fuel dragsters and have a lot of fun doing it. And you know what? I don't know how long a person can do it, but I ain't planning on quitting anytime soon. I can tell you that. This is my life. It's all I do for a living. It's how I pay the bills. And I absolutely love top fuel dragsters, nitro racing. I love racing, period. And I know we're going to get into some of that tonight.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it's just nitro racing that you love. I know you love smashing on that loud pedal. And since you're speaking of it, you and I first met officially at the first World Door Slammer Nationals down there in Orlando. You were out roaming the pits just like a normal spectator. You were there watching Kyle Koretsky, and I walked up to you and I said, "Hey, Clay, can I get an interview?" And you're like, "Yeah, man. Hey, I'm just here having fun." And that's what it's all about, is, you know, seeing the drivers that are very approachable. And do you think that helps you sometimes, or makes you a little bit busier in the pits because you like interacting with all the fans?
I mean, you know, I think it gives me energy, and to be honest, it's just who I am. I like interacting with people. I talk a lot. I like talking. And, you know, if I stay around my family too much, they've heard all of my stories. So I got to go out and mingle around a little bit. So people that haven't heard them can hear me tell them again, you know. And, my wife's heard them all so many times, she can repeat them. But, man, you know, I just love people. You know, people are what make the world go around, and interacting with them, to me, that's just natural. That's what, you know, that's what everybody should do. Everybody should go out and enjoy themselves, have a good time, and enjoy what they're doing. And that's what I do every day.
And you can definitely tell, like I said in the intro there, that smile you have, it's very iconic. Everyone in drag racing, if you ask who's always smiling in drag racing, they're going to say Clay Milliken, because, I mean, win or lose, it, like you said, you're doing what you love, and that's what it's all about, is, you know, smashing that loud pedal, going out, having fun, supporting friends and family. And I think in the racing community right now, we're all seeing that, and the community is growing and getting stronger.
Oh, I think 100% so. Right now, drag racing is on the move in an upward trend. You know, we're seeing some other motorsports maybe stalling out a little bit. But drag racing is moving, and you're seeing huge races, you know, all over the place in all forms of drag racing. And, you know, I love that. It gives me the opportunity when we do have a weekend off to go find some other race to go watch, and I enjoy it, whether it's bracket racing, you know, or like the Door Slammer Nationals, you know, whatever the case may be. If I can find a drag race, I'm going to it. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, I went to Bahia, Mississippi, and watched a match race down there with some of the Street Outlaw guys. You know, it's just fun. If you can't enjoy yourself at a drag race, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Mad Bro Motorsports, located North Hill, Minot, North Dakota, the leading performance and parts store. If there's anything you need for your hot rod, give Slammin' Sam and the gang a call. 701-720-7996. Again, that is Mad Bro Motorsports. 701-720-7996.
On the way to being free.
Can't thank our sponsors enough, Mad Bro Motorsports. And Clay, you started talking about it, and here we go. You know, you're doing a lot. So this weekend, this past weekend in Atlanta, you had a great thing going. You had Walmart on board. First time in a very long time we actually got to see Walmart involved in NHRA racing. But then not only that, you had a trailer that was giving out vaccines there. You know, some people, you know, good side, bad side of the fence. But, you know, it's doing that extra thing to help the people and to make, you know, make us all safer at the end of the day, or give someone an opportunity that maybe can't do it because they're at work, you know, 9 to 5 or anything like that. So talk about how that partnership came about and what made you decide that that was a good fit for you.
Well, it's actually a pretty crazy story how that came about. You know, Walmart has actually never done any kind of motorsports. They are starting to dabble a little bit in Formula One, but it is crazy story. So when I got the opportunity, Donna and myself, my wife, we went and got the vaccination locally, and I posted my vaccine card, my shot card, whatever you want to call it. I posted it online, and it got lots of reaction, you know, some good, some bad, but I thought it was the right thing to do. You know, I wanted to let people know that, hey, I got it, and, you know, I think that it helps everybody in this country if we do get it. That is my opinion. And it was crazy to believe this, but someone reached out, connected me to Walmart, and the next thing you know, within a matter of a week and a half, we had put a program together to bring their mobile wellness center to Atlanta Dragway and offer the fans not only an opportunity to get their vaccination, but a lot of educational, you know, a lot of talking with licensed pharmacists, and they talk to a lot of people. You know, a lot of people think that they shouldn't get it, and a lot of people had the opportunity to get it. You know, just like you said, a lot of people work, they haven't been able to do it. Maybe it's not been in their area, or they didn't know that it was available at Walmart, you know? And so to me, it was the right thing to do, you know, for me to just put it out there. I wasn't looking to, you know, to sign a deal with Walmart. I just put it out there because I think it's the right thing to do. And again, you know, there's a lot of people that have a 180 degree opinion of my opinion, but I think that it will help us get fans back in the grandstands, stop the limited capacity, you know, at not only the races, but whether it be, you know, movie theaters, restaurants. You know, there's so many businesses suffering because people can't come to their business, and they, you know, they're stuck at home. And, you know, we've been very fortunate in that NHRA drag racing was one of the first to have fans back. And while it was limited, you know, they were the first, and they've continued to move forward. And Walmart is just trying to do their part to give everyone in this country an opportunity to get that vaccination. And they're doing it for free. You know, that's one thing. They're not getting paid to do it at all. They gave out, I don't even know how many, they gave out a lot of vaccinations at the racetrack. And we had a lot of people that said that, you know, they haven't really considered it, but once they talk to a pharmacist there that has actual knowledge, not just something you read on the internet, they got it done. You know, 90% of every American lives within 10 miles of a Walmart. So there was a lot of people that just scheduled to get their vaccination. And then the people that got their vaccination while they were there, they were able to schedule to get their follow-up vaccination, you know, after the race. And, it was a heck of a weekend. It was incredible, you know, to be able to be involved with that. And I look forward to being involved with it moving forward. It's a heck of a program.
So is that something that you guys plan on doing for the rest of the year at the different tracks? Or was that just something special for Atlanta?
Well, it is just according to where the Mobile Wellness Center is going to be. We are going to continue working with Walmart and continue promoting, you know, for people to go out and get the vaccination, the COVID-19 vaccination, you know, and I'm not just telling you, I want you to go get it at Walmart. You know, it's available at other places, but we're going to continue working with Walmart from now and into the future. You know, this is something that's near and dear to everybody on our entire, you know, Stringer Performance team. And it's the right thing to do. I just believe that because, you know, we don't want anybody to get sick, and this gives you an opportunity to maybe fight it off whether you were going to get it or not. I'm the guy that had never gotten a flu shot. My wife's always got them. I haven't, but this COVID-19 thing is no joke, you know, so I wanted to take that extra protection, and I went and got the vaccination, and I think, you know, it's the right thing for everybody else to go do it as well.
Yeah, no, and it's weird, you know, it hit close to home, especially for me working for Competition Plus. I do some work for them. So, you know, Bobby, during that whole time that he was going through it, he just said, oh, I feel sick. And I talked to him and talked to him every day. I text him every day. I said, Bobby, are you okay? What's going on? Finally, one day, you know, he came out and said it. He's like, Sam, I'm sick. I've got it. And I didn't know. You know, I just thought he had some cold or whatever. And it was right during the time that Gainesville got shut down. So it was like everyone was kind of at a standstill. But, you know, when it hits close to home is, I think, when a lot of people take it a little bit different. You know, I've had a couple of friends that have gotten it, and you're like, okay. And then you start worrying, you know. So it's cool to see that, you know, even though everyone doesn't have the same views, that, you know what, hey, at the end of it, maybe this is the best situation for us to see where we go at this point. But even cooler is that we're having people come into motorsports, and especially NHRA drag racing, where we at this point kind of need all the help that we can get. So another marketing partner investing in motorsports is always great.
100% agree with that. I mean, you know, whatever your views are on it, to me, it was a great day for drag racing when Walmart decided to join NHRA drag racing. And obviously I'm excited because it was with our team, but you know, they're the largest retailer there is. And then they decided that, you know, drag racing was the place to be. And, you know, again, they're not promoting for you to come to their store. They're promoting for people to get their vaccination, and they're not even charging anything for it. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited to continue to work with them. And, you know, I'm still trying to educate myself more and more because I'm not an expert on it. You know, they have, you know, they've got experts. They've got those licensed pharmacists, and they got all those people to answer technical questions. So I try to stay away from the technical questions. I give my opinion, and my opinion, you know, is that the more of us that get it, the better. And I mean, we have seen it, you know, hit in our drag racing world. You mentioned Bobby, you know, Bob Tasca, Cruz Pedregon's guys got it last year. Todd Smith, you know, crew chief, and obviously, you know, Jocko with Steve Johnson's Pro Shop Motorcycle. You know, I mean, it's hit drag racing. And, you know, I think there was a lot of people there, and I certainly know that a lot of crew members went and got their vaccination during the weekend, as well as race fans. And it was pretty cool. At the end of the day, one of the local people who was there working as a vendor, he was, you know, selling drinks. And when he finished his shift, he came by and he said, you know what? We've been working our tails off getting ready for this event, and I haven't had the opportunity to get it. And he swung by and got his vaccination and got set up for the second one. It was pretty cool.
Oh, and that's awesome. But here we go. You've talked about it, and I'm trying to find the picture right now, but had the chance to see you and Jeff Lutz. I can't get the video to upload. You and Jeff Lutz in the pits. I think you're trying to convert him to become a nitro guy. Is that what it really is?
Well, no, I think I'm trying to weasel my way into driving the 57. That's what I'm trying to figure out how to do, but I haven't got that opportunity.
I can't blame. I cannot blame you there at all.
Oh, Jeff is a good dude. I tell you what, I love the guy. I love him and Jeffrey. They're just super nice people. And Jeff is on a crazy schedule right now. I mean, they're, you know, he's filming a new show with Farm Truck and Asian that will be coming out. I don't even want to tell you when, because I have no idea when it's coming out, but they've been filming that for a while. You know, he does No Prep Kings. He does Street Outlaws. And they were in Vegas to unveil this crazy creation they built for the Las Vegas Golden Knights. I can't tell you what it is because it's going to be on the television show, but I saw photos of it. It's crazy. And, you know, they really, the rest of the crew all flew back. Farm Truck Asian, all the, you know, all the camera people, all that. And he stayed, you know, he loves it just like I do, just like you do. You know, he's like, you know what? I don't have to be back to work till Monday at like 7 a.m. So, he stayed, and he did everything but miss his airplane because we kept going rounds in Vegas and made it to the final. And he booked out of there after the I don't even know what you call that, the second quad, which would be, you know, put you into the final. My wife drove him on the golf cart straight out to the parking lot in his car, and he, like, basically ran onto the airplane and barely made it. But he loves it, and I think he is, you know, a super talented guy, and he's obviously an extremely hard worker, and me and him just have a great friendship.
No, and, you know, that's cool to see that mix of NHRA and Street Outlaws, because there for a while, you know, it was – everything you read on the internet was NHRA, we're pulling your license, we're doing this, we're doing that, this isn't good, this is bad. So it's awesome to see that, you know, everyone loves racing, whether it's on the street, on the strip, or whatever. But I think you should try and convince him that you need to get in one of those cars. Who knows, maybe you can make a special appearance on one of the list races or something, you know?
Well, you were just talking about, you know, when they first come out, it was like, oh, you know, Street Outlaws versus NHRA. I want to show you this, and I'm going to see if you can see it.
Oh, yeah.
You can.
Oh, yeah.
So that was, I don't remember what year. I'm horrible with years. But obviously, that's Sean and Big Chief there. And I am not sitting down. That's how big those boys are.
I'm trying to. Yeah, I've got their signatures right there above me. I'm a huge no prep guy, as I used to, you know, 3 years ago before I had my son, I had a no prep car, but that quickly turned after you have a kid. So my last race, my last race was the night before he was born. So, and it, like I said, it's going on 4 years here this year that I have not been able to smash my own loud pedal. So,
but those guys, Big Chief actually had never been to an NHRA drag race, and they came with me to the event in Dallas. There was some questions that I got from higher-ups. Why are they there? What are they doing? And I'm like, man, they're doing nothing but enjoying themselves. I said, look at the back of my trailer right now. There's as many people back there for them to sign my hero card, you know, as it was at any pit area, you name the name, they had more people at the back of my pit signing my hero cards. And, you know, it was thought of as like, you know, a bad thing. But I think that it has helped drag racing tremendously. And I know for sure it has helped a ton of little tracks where those guys go and do match races, make appearances, whatever you want to call it. They pack the place, you know. And so I think it's been good for drag racing. I think it's made people that have never paid attention to drag race, now they look at it. You know, they see them on TV. You know, these guys have become stars, you know, and they're out there drag racing. And I just 100% believe that it has, you know, taken drag racing and helped it continue on the upward swing. And, you know, Street Outlaws, whatever, you know, they call it what they want. But how many street races have you ever been to where there's portable lighting and ambulances and all those things? It's not, it's, you know, that's TV magic.
All right, what's up, everybody? We've all been in the shop, and we have those tools that we just don't like to use. Well, I've got a solution for that. Go over to powerbuilt.com and use product code MADBRO15 at checkout and save 15% while you're doing it. I mean, it's easy. I'm talking high-quality and durable tools. Lifetime warranty. So if you break it, it breaks, or just something happens, you send it back. No questions asked. Proven performance. I'm talking people in the NHRA and everywhere else are using these tools. So why don't you go over to powerbuilt.com right now, use product code 15 at checkout and save yourself 15%. Again, product code MADBRO15, save 15%. Yes, that's right, everybody. Go over right below here. You can see it. That is MADBRO15, save 15% at checkout. So you're going to think, these prices are already low. You get 15% off of the sale price. So that's right. Product code MADBRO15. You can save 15%. And don't worry about it. When you lose that 10mm socket, you'll be able to buy like three or four of them with all the savings you will get. So, Clay, you kind of threw a little shade right there when you said, you know, portable lighting, ambulance, and all this stuff. I mean, that's kind of almost a call out to those guys. Nah,
it's no call out. I mean, you know, everybody watches the show. I'm pretty sure everybody watching your YouTube here, they've watched the show, and it's no hiding those lights and all those things. And I mean, we've seen crashes on the show, and there's ambulances there immediately, you know, but I love the shows. I watch every week, and I think it's good for drag racing. I think it's good for all the manufacturers. It's good for the people that, you know, are building chassis. You know, I think it's just crazy, how much they've done for drag racing. And you know, the huge majority of those guys on that show, I know them, and they're my buddies. And like I say, that's what I was doing in Bahia, Mississippi, just a couple weeks ago. You know, Sean and Chuck and Ryan were down there, so I made my way down there just to hang out and bug those guys. And I was, you know, a fanboy. I enjoyed it.
Oh, I mean, they're all great. You know, I've got to meet them all throughout PRIs and different shows that I've been to. But then also, you know, going down to a lot of their races and filming and getting interviews. It's really cool to think you see this guy on TV and you're like, man, he's kind of a prick. But then you walk up to him in person, and like me and Chuck right away, I've got an 87 Fox body. First time I ever met Chuck was at PRI 2018. I look at him. And I've got a Fox body on my jacket, and it, you know, and it says, I call my car Miley, like Miley Cyrus. Her name's Miley. And he looks at me and he goes, is that a Fox body? I was like, yeah. And he's like, what year? And I was like, 87. And I look at him, I was like, why, you want to race? I was like, because I'll race you off the trailer. From that moment on, like every time I see Chuck, he's always like, hey, I still want that race off the trailer. So those guys are all good guys. And speaking of, you know, that it's brought out a different type of racing atmosphere. I think it's brought out a lot of younger people in the racing community. Mm-hmm. And now we've got this new thing, these donk races. You got these big, big cars on 22s and plus that are out there racing. And I mean, you had those guys in your pits this weekend. What do you think about that? I mean, it's totally different.
It really is, and I got to be honest. I have not been one to yet. Like probably most car people out there, I have watched it on the internet. You know, obviously, you know, Donk Master and all those things that's going on. You know, I do know that Sean is building one. I've watched some of his YouTubes. He's been to a couple of their events, and I hate that the Richmond race, you know, has been postponed. But what it did do for me was June 5th, Donk Master's going to be having a race here at Memphis International Raceway. So unless something happens that I don't know about at the moment with the ever-changing schedule, I will be going to my very first ever live event, not watching it on YouTube, at Memphis International Raceway on June 5th. And I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, the Cut to Check Racing Group was in the pit area with me this weekend. They were there with Killer Mike. Man, what a great group of guys. You know, they're racers. They just happen to do it in what is it, 71 to 76 Impalas with, I think they got to have 26-inch wheels. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Might be 22.
Yeah, I think it's 24s or bigger, because I know the one guy on YouTube, he's like, we don't run the Jumpmans. And everybody calls, if you run a 23, that's a Jumpman. But I'm like, it's just, it's different. I like it. I catch myself scrolling through it on, you know, on YouTube too. I'm like, man, why? Like, you watch it for a couple of minutes and you're like, why am I watching this? But it's like, and then again, how are these guys making all this horsepower? You know, they're making this great horsepower. They're running fast, but they're doing it on next to no tire with 26s. I mean,
the power management is pretty impressive. And the thing, you know, especially me with a dragster with no suspension on it, is they're doing it with this much sidewall. So there's no tire wrinkle. There's nothing there. You know, they're basically, it's like doing it on a big wheel. You know what I mean? Like a kid that you, as a kid with the little big wheel, you can spin that big wheel, you know. And there's guys out there, I mean, I don't know what kind of power they're making, but I mean, there's some guys out there with, you know, pro line power and then big power, and they're somehow able to hook it up. You see those things carrying the front end, and I get down that YouTube rabbit hole all the time. I can't help it. It's just fun to watch.
Oh, I mean, it's catchy, right? Especially when you see a big boat. I mean, they're a pontoon boat going down with the front end hanging up. So it's like, man, that's classic. And you talked about it. We go down that YouTube rabbit hole. Last couple of days, I've been catching up on Clay Milliken's YouTube channel. What kind of promoted you to start going out on your own, doing the live videos, you know, taking everybody on the journey of who Clay Milliken really is inside and outside the track?
Man, I really don't know what made me completely jump in with both feet, but the live feed and the YouTube's kind of two separate things. But the YouTube thing, I'm just having a blast, and I've been making more and more friends that are, you know, heavily involved in YouTube. You know, at Gainesville, we had Brent from PFI Speed come to the event, Kyle Wade with Boosted Boys, and I surprised them. I put big giant decals on the car, you know, with their channels, promoting their channels. And, you know, I don't know what it is. I just really enjoy what they're doing, and it's a different style of what I do, you know, that Boosted Boys, obviously known for eBay turbos and Hondas, and they do all kinds of cool stuff with cars. And then Brent with PFI Speed is known. His channel is, a big majority of his content is based around tuning, typically import cars, not always, but just really good guys. And I don't know, you know, I just keep making videos and people keep watching and the channel's growing. I'm really enjoying doing it. I have a new video going up tomorrow night from what happened at Vegas this past weekend. And then I'll find a race to go to somewhere this weekend. And, you know, I'll video that. I mean, you might've saw that a couple weeks ago, I guess it was, I put up a video, Grudge Racing versus Mother Nature, you know, and I actually had a couple comments on there that it was clickbait. And I guess they thought, you know, it was, a car called Verse Mother Nature or something, but I went to Memphis. There was a big grudge race going on, and it rained it out. So, but I still had a good time walking around, talking to all the racers and meeting a lot of new people that I didn't know. And, you know, YouTube is fun. You know, I enjoy doing it. I like sharing what's going on in my life, and I'm thankful that people want to watch what's going on, and I'm learning more and more. But I can tell you this, it's all done right here on this iMovie, and that's how I do them. I do use GoPros a little bit for footage of the race car, and, you know, every now and then I'll grab the GoPro when I'm just out walking around. But, man, it's fun. You know, you get a lot of interaction with your fans, and you make new fans, because after, like, Boosted Boys and PFI Speed were there, you know, a lot of people started watching my channel and commented and have told me they're now watching NHRA drag racing because they didn't really pay attention to it. It wasn't their thing. So for me, it's just like, you know, a great way to promote myself, obviously, Parks Plus, Walmart, all those things, but also promote drag racing, because I do have tons of comments of people that said they've never watched it, or A, they quit watching it because they didn't really have nobody to root for. And thankfully, some of those people have chose me, and it's a fun deal, you know. And then the live feed on Tuesday night, that's a whole different story.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. You know, like I said, we had you on the Competition Plus Power Hour, and you know, that's just a kind of, I don't know if you watched last night's episode with Fletcher Cox, but I mean,
I haven't watched.
Oh, okay. But I mean, it's just cool to see that, you know, people are now saying that they've got back into racing because they see the new light, or they like the new attitude and the change of it. And that's what we need in motorsports, is a lot of people to, you know, bring different styles. I mean, it's just like, you know, Lee and I talked about it, and it's something I'm working on, is a pre-race show. Every stick and ball sports has, you know, who are you going to pick? Who's your top contenders? Who's this? So every week now I'm going to try it before an NHRA race, come in maybe Saturday night or early Sunday morning, get up and get down to the track and pick a couple of winners and say, okay, this is our prediction. This is what we think the track's going to hold. This is what it's going to take. And I think the only way to keep the wheels turning in motorsports is to keep trying to keep on keeping on and show those stick and ball sports and, you know, NASCAR and IndyCar, like, hey, you guys have got this, but you watch out, because drag racing's coming down that track and we're not pulling the chutes anytime soon. So I think having, you know, these opportunities like the podcast and the live feeds, it just it gives us one more view to show why drag racing is the prominent sport that's out there.
100% agree. 100% agree. I have not watched your show from last night. You know, I did my own show, and I did something different that I've never done before. So a local guy, I've known him since he was born, really, and he asked me to do his podcast. And I said, well, Tuesday night is my show night. And so what we ended up doing, and it was a lot of fun, I had him on my show for a little over an hour or whatever the case would be. And then that went off, and we continued right on recording and ended up doing a 3-hour long podcast with Logan Haintz last night, living Fully Loaded. Fun show. And it was really different because this young man, I mean, he's known me his whole life, but he's a farmer. He's not a race car guy, you know? And so it was really neat to get questions from someone that really and truly does not follow the sport. I enjoyed that. You know, it was just weird. He typically has, you know, a lot of different variety of guests, but no racers. Where me and you, we're like this, you know, we're thinking about racers. That's our people involved in racing.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, and, you know, like I said, I think COVID helped a lot of people kind of come out of their shell with the podcast market and talking to people and doing different things, like you said, like the YouTube channels and stuff like that. So I think it brought out a different side of creation for a lot of people and just gave them a light of, you know, hey, I've got this gift or I've got something I want to talk about or show the world. So why not do it through this different platform? And I think that's one of the things that I can honestly say about your show and your YouTube channel was you saw that it was like, hey, you know what? I'm getting a little bit more creative now that, you know, you guys weren't racing as much and doing that kind of stuff.
That's really where the Tuesday night, we call it the DNC show. That's kind of where it came from in the current form. Initially, I started doing it for fun. Me and Donna drive to about half of the races in our old toter home. And so we would be driving home from the race Sunday night, and I would just stick the phone on the window, and she would sit over there and read, you know, whatever the questions were. I would tell about the weekend, tell her what happened in our pit area. You know, I get that this is another subject, but I get this all the time. People say, who won Funny Car? I don't know. Who won Pro Stock? I don't know. You know, if it doesn't happen in that little box that I live in, which is inside that Parks Plus box area, I don't know what happens. So driving home, you know, I would tell about our weekend, and that was how it started. And then when COVID hit, you know, I've got a lot of sponsors that pay my bills, you know, and it's like, man, I got to be doing something more, and I've got all this energy, and I love talking. And so it turned into, you know, inviting people on and figuring out how to make that happen. You know, like we're doing this on StreamYard. I do it on an app called BeLive.tv. And, you know, we started inviting guests on, and I've been unbelievably amazed at how many people watch it. And there are occasions where I can't do it on Tuesday night. The previous Tuesday night, we were already driving to Atlanta, and then I start getting all these messages. What happened to the show last night, you know? So it's a lot of fun. I have learned so much about people that I thought I knew. You know, you just look at the list of people we've had on there. I've learned something about all of them, and that makes it fun for me. You know, I mean, we had Larry Dixon on the week before last. Larry was a little over an hour, and I didn't even come close to getting all the way through his career. And, you know, I learned a lot about him, you know, learned that you know, he's not only a good racer, he's a good businessman. I mean, I think about, I had Bruno Massalone. I learned a lot about his dad, and I thought I really knew a lot about his dad because I'm a sportsman racer. Amanda Busey, the list goes on and on and on. You know, everybody that I have on, I've learned more about them. And it's nice having a long format like that. I typically try to do an hour and not much more than that, but it's been fun, you know, and it gets to be a little work sometime. You know, it's like, man, we got to hurry up and get home and, you know, get geared up for Tuesday night. But, and then, you know, trying to figure out who you want to come on. And there's a lot of people, and I'm sure you can tell me and be truthful about it. You'll run into a lot of people that just simply do not know how to operate a computer or figure out how to get on, you know, StreamYard or BeLive.tv, whatever the case may be. I've had that happen several times, and, you know, my guests kind of fall out at the very last moment because they just simply couldn't make it work. But, man, we bust our tails to make sure it's fun for everybody. And if it's fun for us, I typically realize, you know, it's good for everybody else too. But it's just a fun deal on Tuesday night.
Everybody, if you want to listen to this back, you can always check it out on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, whichever one it is. But here we go, Clay. We're going right into the real stuff. The reason why everybody is listening, and that is the life of an NHRA drag racer. You kind of touched on it right there, you know, of getting home on those Tuesday or Monday nights and trying to get ready for your show. I know exactly how you feel when it's like, all right, last minute, somebody's like, hey, I can't do the show tonight. Or, hey, you know, work, you know, I used to be on call for work. Work would call like 10 minutes before the show, and it's like, do I go now or do I try and rush through the podcast? But what is it? What's the true life of a NHRA drag racer?
Well, I mean, obviously I can only answer for myself, but for me, you know, life completely revolves around, you know, the partners that make it happen, the race team, the people involved with our race team. And, you know, it's a job. I hate to call it that, but it is a job, and that's what we do. And so doesn't matter how big, how small, every detail has to be done. And, you know, I've got a section of the race team that I take care of. Mike Clover's got a section, Doug Stringer's, you know, on and on down the list. You know, everybody's got, like, this is what we take care of. And we have to do that every week. And everybody's just got to figure out what they're best at. And it's not always what you're doing, you know. So there are times where we move, you know, let's just say it's buying parts, for example. I've got certain people that I deal with. Mike's got people he deals with. Doug Stringer's got people he deals with. And, you know, if somebody moves in that company where you're buying those parts from and somebody takes place and you've got a relationship with them, so it may move around. And it ain't just buying parts all the time. You know, you can only buy parts every so often according to your bank account, obviously. But, you know, and doing things like this for me, you know, is something I do all the time, and I enjoy doing them. And, you know, finding out what promotions some of our partners may have coming up. And, I mean, if you look at our car, you know, I'm always saying Parts Plus, but there's a list of vendors. If you look at a picture of the car, you see it in person, you will see a long list of vendors under Parts Plus. Those are all companies that Parts Plus works with for promotions internally. And so let's just say Valvoline, for example. I'm just pulling one out of the sky here. Valvoline, for example, is running some kind of promotion. They may need me to do something to help with that promotion within the Parts Plus organization or with Valvoline specifically. Denso. Denso is a big one for us. I mean, you know, we're the Denso car typically a couple times a year. We were just the Denso car at the Denso Spark Plug 4 Wide Nationals. So, you know, I may have to do some work with them outside of what we normally do. And it's just what we do, you know, and I don't even think anything about it anymore. You know, I typically try to find, you know, things to actually, you know, help. I may come up with an idea and I may call somebody, you know, at CRC Chemical or wherever, you know. Again, you look at that long list, they're I hate to keep start naming them because I'll need to name them all, but, you know, that's part of what I do. It's not just show up at the racetrack and drive the race car because we're, you know, a small team. Social media. If you see something on social media with my name on it, I'm the one that put it there. You know, I don't have a person, so to speak. You know, a lot of the, you know, the factory teams, as I like to call them, they have a person. They have a person that does all that for them. I like doing it. I like the interaction. I like the social media side of it. And it's a quick rundown of some of what I do, not counting, you know, YouTube or playing with my dogs or, you know, trying to sneak off to a drag race somewhere.
No, and that's awesome. So I'm going to throw it out there. If you ever want any help with social media, let me know. I'm more than willing to help you do that kind of stuff. But no, I mean, you know, and a lot of people don't get to see that side. They honestly think, and when I tell my friends about drag racing, they're like, dude, don't the drivers just fly in and drive the car? I'm like, no. Like, if you think that that's what they're, and there may be a couple racers out there that do that.
But there's more than a few that get to do that. I'm not one of those, though, that's for sure.
I mean, you know, I think the more that you get your hands dirty, I think it's the more that you respect it, you understand it, and you just have a love and a desire for that car. And when you guys do good, it's rewarding to see that all, you know, play off. But your love for race cars didn't start, you know, when you were, you know, 20 and when you were, you know, in your 30s. It started pretty much, you know, from a very, very young age. You know, maybe trying to sneak off and get into a couple of races or something. So what is that like to know from a young age this is what you wanted to do?
Well, I mean, it's certainly something that bit me very, very early on. My daddy took us to every every form of motorsport you can imagine, whether it was NASCAR, sprint cars, you know, tractor pulls. We even went to hill climbs. I mean, you name it, we went. And one of my very earliest memories, I don't have a clue how old I was, but I went to, Daddy took me to Lakeland International Raceway, which is outside of Memphis. It was a super facility, you know, way back in the day. I think the place actually closed in 1976. So it's in 76, I was 10 years old. So this was well before I was 10. But my first memory of a nitro car was Big Daddy Don Garlitz doing a match race there. And I knew from right then, like, man, I want to drive one of those things. And I got to be honest, you know, I just love going fast. And, you know, I wanted to drive one. I wanted to experience what that was like. Did I think I could do it for a living? Probably not at that age, but I did know I wanted to drive one. And I had the want to. And I continued having that want to even to this day. I still want to do this. And I love doing it. But that was a memory that just cemented for me that I want to drive one of those cars.
No, and that's awesome. And if you look down in the ticker below, it says drive fast, take chances. These next two that are down there, are, I put them on the screen just for you because I know how much you like doing that. But no, that's awesome. I mean, you know, I got the chance after Vegas, I stayed around and hung out with Antron for a bit. And I had my 3-year-old son. He came with me down to the races. And, you know, we went down to California and visited Grandma. And then we drove back up to Vegas on Friday. And, you know, it was just hang out. You get time with, you know, Nana, as he calls her. But, and Dad's going to go to work. And it was awesome. You know, I got heck from some people. They're like, how could you baptize your kid by nitro at 3 years old? And I'm like, man, that's an experience of a lifetime. Like, if that would have happened to me, like, I mean, I've had a bug for racing cars, I'd honestly say, since, you know, the first Fast and the Furious came out. Like, that was it for me. I was like, man, I can grab 16 gears, and if I press the nitrous button, my four boards are going to fly out, and I'm going to have sparks. Like,
yes, too soon, Junior.
Exactly. Like, I have it. It's a long-lasting memory on my Facebook page. The opening weekend of the drag races here around me, I always post it. I live my life a quarter mile at a time for those 7 seconds or less. And it's funny because every year guys are like, for those 7 seconds, geez, you're slow. And I'm like, hey, it's a saying. It's just, it's kind of, it has to happen every year. So that's one of the things. But with, you know, with everything in life, there's highs and there's lows. And you've been through, you know, a hell of a story, you know, from, like you said, wanting to race a car from a young age. And, you know, going through some stuff that I don't think anyone would ever really want to go through, and still living out your dream now. So, you know, what at this point, you know, other than what has happened, what was like the hardest moment for you in your racing career, you would say?
Oh, I mean, you know, racing career wise, there's so many, you know, bumps in the road. No question about it. You know, I've been through it many, many times, you know, where it's either a team owner or a sponsor. You get a phone call that tells you, hey, we're done. You know, it's like, what? What do you mean you're done? You know, sometimes you get that call earlier in the season and you can start making plans and hopefully you can find somewhere to continue working, you know, because again, it is what I do for a living. And I have been in the situation where last moment, I mean, literally last instant, get a phone call that we're not racing this year. You know, there's no money. We're not doing it, you know. So those are by far the hardest thing, you know, and it puts you in, you know, super hyper scramble mode. Not that we don't make enough phone calls already, but then you got to start like just working everything you can think about, every person, you know, this is what I can do. Can you help me with this? And you know, I've never had huge money to buy myself a ride. You know, I've been able to put partnerships together, you know, where I can keep myself in a ride and make a living doing it. And that's the hardest part of what we do. I mean, if people ask me, what's the worst part about racing? You know, the answer for that is typically the travel. You know, the travel gets old, but as far as like highs and lows, you know, in the racing side of things, it is definitely those phone calls or maybe it's a meeting where, you know, either it's a sponsor or an owner. It's like, I'm done, you know, and it's like, what am I going to do now? You know, those are definitely bumps in the road when it comes to racing, and I've been through them, and it's just part of it.
Yeah. And, you know, for you, you know, I kind of touched on it, but you've found a way to always stay positive. And, you know, for the people that don't know your story and what happened, if you want to touch bases on that, but just to kind of tell people that are out there that are listening, you know, my Circle Track fans or the Grudge guys or even the NHRA people that are listening, or someone that's just maybe not having the best day, of, you know, how you've overcome a very tragic situation, mm-hmm. that has propelled you and pretty much given you the extra nitro that you need to keep going.
Well, I mean, you know, in August of 2015, you know, I lost my youngest son to a motorcycle accident. And, you know, it's the worst thing ever that a parent can go through. 100% period. I don't think anybody should have to go through that. It's an absolute horrible thing, you know, and you have a couple options at that point. You know, we got a knock on the door to tell us that our son had been killed in a crash, you know, and you can either let it ruin you, or you can look at it as one of those things that what would he want? You know, what if that was me? You know, what if it had been me and not him? What I would want for him, if it had been me, was, man, you just realize that my job on this earth has been completed and you've still got work to do. And that's how, you know, I looked at it. It's how Donna, you know, can't speak for her completely, because we both had to deal with it in our own way. And both of us have come out, you know, not fixed by any stretch of the imagination, but our work here is not done, you know? And so you've got to make that decision, you know, is this going to ruin my entire life, or am I going to learn to live with it and try to help others, you know? And so that's the route that we've taken. You know, we meet people at the races all the time. And, you know, if they tell me they've lost a child, you know, I immediately hug them, because you've joined a club that nobody should be a part of. And that's a parent that's lost a child, you know, and you can only hope that if everybody that has happened to, that they, you know, try to take make the decision that I'm not going to let this ruin my life, because my child would not have wanted that. You know, our job has always been to take care of them. And if we don't look at it that way and continue to take care of ourselves, then you've kind of let them down in a way, because you've busted your butt your whole life to raise them, nurture them, and make them into good people. And if you've let a tragedy, you know, let you slip from that, I think you're not really doing them any favors. Because again, I truly believe that when something like that happens, you know, it happened for a reason. It was supposed to happen. And the main thing is, I know their job here was done, and they're doing a job somewhere else. That's what I believe. And, you know, I think everybody just needs to take care of what they're doing right now, continue to move forward, to continue to not only try to make their life better, but others around them better, you know. And I try to do that every day, and I'm not saying that I do, but that's the way I look at it, and that's how me and Donna just continue to move forward.
Oh, and, you know, it's awesome, because you guys had a very rich a story, you know, then you go down Father's Day, and then you get a big, a huge win. But even your son, you know, he was involved in motorsports. So that bug that you had, you know, he had it too. And it's just crazy to see, you know, the chain of events, especially for you with that win, rolling into the track and getting, you know, a fan bringing you the chest protector, and then, you know, kind of the stars aligning, and pretty much your son having a hand in it, God having a hand in it, and just making things, you know. And like I said, when people are like, man, how does a guy keep a smile on his face all the time, even, you know, when the car may have blown up or you may have dropped a cylinder, and you always see that, and it's just like, you know what,
or you can't do a burnout and you have to pull off to the side of the racetrack and hop out of the car.
Well, yeah, I mean, like you said, there's the highs and there's the lows. I mean, but you continue to do it. You continue to keep a smile on your face and, you know, just keep coming back for more and more. But is there anything else? I'm going to show you a picture. Is there anything else Clay Milliken would drive? Kind of something like this that just popped up on the screen. Would Clay ever jump in, you know, either one of those, maybe something like this, you know? I mean, have you ever thought about driving anything else?
I have made a handful of laps in a street stock car. You know, obviously you had a non-wing sprint car up there and it looked like IMCA, you know, modified car.
Yep.
I would love to. I mean, I've been to the Bondurant school multiple times, driving the, you know, they were Dodge Challengers, and I love the experience of anything with four wheels and seat belts. I'm not going to hop on a Top Fuel Harley. I'm out on that. Those guys are crazy. You know, they can have that. Oh, Jay Turner, the Bulldog, he's a bad dude. That's all I can say. You know, anybody that swings a leg over one of those things. But yeah, I mean, I would love to make laps in those things. You know, would I hop in one and go immediately racing? No. Would I like to? I'm not saying I wouldn't race, but I would like to, you know, go make laps and then maybe hop in a race for sure. Like the street stock car I drove, it belonged to the vice president of Parts Plus, and, you know, I made some laps in it, just never got the opportunity to race. But if it's got four wheels and a steering wheel, seat belts, I'm in. I am absolutely in.
That's awesome. I've said it, and I think you were on the show when we said it. We're trying to get Bobby Bennett somehow, some way, get enough sponsorship and enough stuff going on to get All-Star Weekend. You know, like I said, the Stick and Ball Sports do it, give you guys a little change in pace, and maybe have some, you know, finally get the smoke to, you know, make some passes down the track, or, you know, maybe have you drop in a pro stock car one round, and then a, you know, well, you said you won't get on a bike, so we won't do that to you. But, you know, maybe get you in a funny car or something like that, and have you, you know, just a fun weekend, give the fans something different to look at and someone, you know, in a different car to cheer for.
Oh, that would be a blast, no doubt about it. A lot of people don't know this, but Peter Lehman, the guy that gave me my start in Top Fuel, you know, he was kind of afraid of the nitro thing, and we talked about a pro stock car, and, you know, so that could have happened, but I continued to pester him enough that he ended up in doing the Top Fuel thing, and I'm thankful for it.
Nope, you can't blame that. So before here, we take another break to one of our sponsors. On the road, you know, like you said, you travel a lot. What is, hands down, Clay Milliken's, like, if you got to pick a couple of places to eat at different tracks, you know, what style of food are you going to, and what places are you hitting up?
Well, I got to tell you, you know, one of my stops for like the lunchtime area would be like a Mellow Mushroom. You know, that's got a good menu. It's got good food. In the evening time, you know, shoot, it's, you know, I can do Mellow Mushroom again, and Texas Roadhouse, Lone Star, something like that. But I am a Waffle House guy, late at night or early in the morning. I'll take a Waffle House in there too.
Yeah.
ALS Teca Mexican Food, located here in Minot, North Dakota, on the north side. If you want the best and authentic Mexican food located in Minot, North Dakota, please check out the gang up at ALS Teca Mexican Food, located right near the Minot International Airport. Go up there, try one of the burritos, and I guarantee you, you will not leave hungry. The best and authentic Mexican food here in Minot, North Dakota, again, that is ALS Teca, for all your dine-in and dine-out needs. Man, I went there today. ALS Teca Mexican Food, can't thank the crew over there. It's Cinco de Mayo, so I got the three carne asada tacos, rice and beans. Oh, man, I'm telling you, I love that place, and that's exactly why they are a sponsor of the In the Groove podcast, because of how much I eat there. I know their return on investment is definitely well worth it.
Oh yeah, you can't beat a good burrito or good taco, that's for sure.
I don't know if you can see it up there in the corner, but that's actually the plate that I got today.
That looks good. Yeah.
So I mean, like I said, fresh, authentic Mexican food. For me though, you know, living in North Dakota, originally a California kid, but anywhere that there's a Jamba Juice, I gotta hit Mexican food whenever I'm on the road. In-N-Out, and let's see, there's one more. Oh, Chick-fil-A. If there's any of those places there, I mean, I've got my 3-year-old now, because he went down and a little shaky. That's all he says, Dad, I want a little shaky. So I have my mom send the Jamba Juice frozen, you know, pack or whatever they call it. So you just blend it up and it's supposed to taste like that. But man, there's just, like you said, there's certain spots that you got to hit up. But I agree with you. I'm going to be down in Baytown. That's where my family is pretty much from, the Houston area. So I'll be going down there to eat some good barbecue, some boudin, some greens, and hitting up a Waffle House, because I know my brother's going to come and see me. And that's our go-to there. But yeah, I mean, Clay, honestly, it's been an honor. It's been a pleasure to have you on to talk racing, you know, to be able to walk into your pits and say, hey, Clay, how's it going? Can I grab a picture? Can I get an interview? It's always cool to, you know, finally see like, hey, you know, I know these guys. And when people ask, man, what is it like? What are they like? So I think, again, it's great to have you stop in and, you know, talk to us here for an hour about who you are, what you enjoy doing. Like I said, hopefully we can see you on the Street Outlaws show soon. Tell one of those guys, say, hey, man, let me show you how to drive that thing, you know. But is there anyone that you want to thank, give you the time to thank your marketing partners? Of course, you got to thank Donna and the dogs. So, I mean, I'll give you this time.
Well, I mean, I really want to just thank all the fans that continue to keep up with drag racing, you know, and certainly appreciate all of them following what I'm doing. You know, I enjoy it, like I said, over and over during this hour that we've been here, you know, and it all happens because, you know, I got the Parts Plus on right there. These guys have been around. This is our 11th year of working together, you know, and, man, they make it all happen, you know, and obviously, you know, Walmart's brand new. Look forward to working with those guys. But I really want to just thank the fans and everybody that just continues to make drag racing a great place and gives me a place to have a job.
Oh, that's awesome. Like I said, I'll see you here in a couple of weeks, and, you know, we can laugh about it, and hopefully, you know, we can get that Parts Plus car down into the winner's circle. I think it's due time. You're ready for one, but thanks again for coming on and, you know, just giving us some of your time. And again, that smile, that classic smile. So thanks again, Clay, and I really appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. I appreciate you having me on. Folks, you're in the groove with Slammin' Sam.
Hey, don't forget, you got to smash that loud pedal
every chance you get.
Well, everybody, that was our good friend Clay Milliken coming on, smashing the loud pedal. You are in the groove. Like he said, we might use that clip for our new intro. So stay tuned for that. Again, can't thank Clay enough for coming on. If you guys are in the Baytown area, Houston, I will be there. NHRA, that is May 21st through the 23rd. So get your tickets. and be there. Check us out. If you need to, go over and check out all Clay Milliken stuff. That is Clay Milliken on YouTube. It's Clay Milliken on Facebook and Instagram. Check his stuff out. Support him. He's doing great things, bringing more sponsors into our sport that we love. If you're in the Minot area, you can catch me at all the Circle Track races that are happening. IMCA, that's from the stock cars. Down to the modifieds, late models, wingless sprints, whatever it is. Thank you to all of our sponsors. But it's time to wrap up another episode of In the Groove Podcast. This has been another episode of In the Groove Podcast, brought to you by Mad Bro Motorsports, Powerbit Tools, LS Teca Mexican Food, and the good folks over at Outlaw Performance ENT. If you have not done already, please like us on all of our social medias. That is Instagram, Facebook, and our YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button so you can get all the updates to everything we've got going on, and you can stay in the groove and smash that loud pedal.